This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hey, this is Jess Mowboy, proud to be heard on the beautiful Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. The team with you today is Chris,
Gordon
and Phil.
But
we haven't changed.
We haven't changed.
We just set our numbers in a different rotation.
We're a week older.
Are we?
I am.
I'm a day older. I don't know about a week older. Yeah.
Time doesn't respect any of us.
Oh, you're not wrong, Narelle.
Welcome to Been There, Done That, Joy's history program. We'll be talking about modern history, future history, history as presented by the younger generation here in Australia, by the older generation here in Australia. You know, everybody has a part in history.
We are all part of history, aren't we?
We're all actors on the stage, as Mr. Shakespeare said.
That's right.
On today's show, we've got a little bit of a lineup in respect of public holidays and how we treat them or how we should treat them and respect them. We'll be talking about the trans community here in Australia in the Australian Defence Forces and compare that to what POTUS is doing.
The wig in Washington.
That wig in Washington, yes, with the red face.
There's a few anniversaries in the anniversary book. Ellen DeGeneres and Portia de Rossi, Molly Meldrum and Greg Louganis. They've all got interesting little bits of stories that we talk about. And then at the end of the program, I think if we've got time, we'll be talking about Facebook, data harvesting and PlayStation gaming and a new museum, with some of that being celebrated. So stay with us on Joy with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Now, what did you do last Saturday and what did you do yesterday on Monday?
Last Saturday I did absolutely BA. I went for my walk. I thought I'd bought the winning Tats Lotto ticket, but guess what? It wasn't. And then I went home and I read the paper and I watched the news and I listened to Joy and absolutely did absolutely nothing.
SFA,
yes.
Likewise.
I should have been in the garden, but I wasn't.
No, I had a quiet day, much like yours.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't stir much outside the property, only did the essentials and just had a neutral day, a nothing day. I didn't feel guilty about it either, doing nothing.
I'd never feel guilty.
Well, I didn't go to the Australia Day Parade.
That's what we've tried to... obviously, not going to be going there either.
But I don't think many people went. It sort of...
Well, there was more at the the Invasion Day march than there was at the...
Well, it's got more meaning than Australia Day.
That's right, yes. But as it's been pointed out, that holiday, we're going to be talking about public holidays, that holiday doesn't mean much to very many people. All they are is happy to get a day off.
Yeah, day off work or
day off what they're supposed to be doing, you know. But this is
celebrating the foundation of New South Wales.
Well, that's
and
all
as
it is.
Victorians, we really should get behind them. Struggling little state up there.
The 26th of January meant absolutely nothing to us when we were growing up.
Public holidays really don't have much importance at all these days.
No.
Cup Day, why should we, who don't go to the races, enjoy the thrill of seeing some horses walk up and down a city street or
that
three?
That was never the point growing up. It was a day off school. And then it became a day off work. It doesn't matter what the day is.
But you could say the same thing about football, the football day off, or whatever it is.
Yeah,
only a new one.
No, that's a religious holiday.
Is it? Oh, right. I thought I was going to mention religious holidays about Easter. I think we're probably the only country that actually celebrates the Easter Monday. Most of them celebrate the Good Friday, have the Good Friday off, but they don't have the Monday.
No, it's not a stretched weekend not long weekend.
No.
Well, I think our little Australian Christians need to go and live in America for an Easter.
They don't get anything.
Easter is Sunday.
That's it.
Good Friday, you go to work. Saturday, if you work, you go to work. Hmm. Monday, that's another day at work.
That's
so
right.
Friday,
Sunday is Easter.
Yeah.
I was over there. I worked on Good Friday and I thought, there's something wrong and nobody's complaining. It's
this is why Australia has got this penchant for having holidays that really mean very little. You know, I think in America they don't only have Christmas Day off too. They don't have Boxing Day.
They don't know what Boxing Day is. Neither do we.
Well,
it's a Turkey Day.
It's a British tradition, and they don't follow any of the British traditions over there anyhow, or very few of them.
No. Well, they're very much against the British.
Yeah, that is right. And
not that they hold a grudge.
But see, we have so many holidays here in Australia. We have I counted them up once, and I think there's 14 days in a year that we get as public holidays, and we're one country in the world that has so many holidays.
The important part is you get the day off. The reason is not even secondary. It does not matter.
And this is why a lot of people are saying that they don't want to celebrate Australia's actual birth date, which is the 1st of January, because it's already New Year's Day and we won't have a holiday. That was the comment that was coming
that
up.
Would
on
that would be un-Australian to take it on, yes. on an existing holiday.
Exactly. Chris, you picked up a very interesting thing about an artist in Sydney that has done something really quite amazing.
Well, an Alice Springs-born and Brisbane-based Marin Nagar artist, Ryan Presley, has painted up placement currency with the $100, $50, $20 and $10 notes.
That's right.
They're not the right size, and they can't really be used, these particular paintings, for transactions. But what he's done is present both sides of the notes with Indigenous history. And it's a wonderful way, being an Indigenous artist, that he's representing their important people from his community, from his viewpoints.
Yep.
And recording historical events.
Yeah, he's done some very, very beautiful work. I don't know what he's painted them in, whether they were... I think they were watercolours that he painted them in. I'm not quite sure. Wow. I didn't read it. But they're very, very realistic looking. And he was a bit concerned that the Treasury Department would have a go at him for painting facsimile currency.
Yeah.
But it seems to have been able to get through. But he had presented at a called the Presley's Blood Money Currency Exchange Terminal in the foyer of the Museum of Contemporary Art in Sydney. And you could buy them for the equivalent of about what the Australian dollar was rating at the moment, or something rather, like 78 cents or something rather. And you paid that sort of the equivalent, and you were given the notes. And I reckon they would be worthwhile keeping, because in the future they could become quite collector's items.
Yeah, but the beauty is that it's making a statement as well as representing currency. Yeah. And it is blood money.
Mm. But you've also got to thank the Treasury have always put something... A lot of Indigenous history on the back of some of that. Usually on the back of the $50 bill is the Indigenous, they have some Indigenous work on them.
Yeah, no.
You know.
I can't get mine out of the wallet at the moment. I haven't got it here in the studio with me.
Oh, aren't you lucky?
Money. yes.
I don't remember what a 50 looks like.
it's the green one that I don't remember seeing much of.
We've also got to remember that on the 26th of January, another country celebrates their national day, but not of the founding of their particular country, but of the ownership, recovering the ownership and control of their country. We're talking about India.
Yes.
In 1950, they restored their own independence. Yeah, exactly.
It's called Indian Independence Day.
Yeah, 26th of January 1950, India gains independence from Britain, from British rule.
That was Gandhi that was working on that, wasn't he? It was Mahatma Gandhi that was responsible for all that, yeah.
But the Indians, although they had independence, they still had the old English laws.
Oh, yes.
Which really needed to go out the back door pretty quickly.
They are really regretting those, and they're trying to overturn them, and they're not doing a bad job.
They're doing some.
And especially in the gay community. They've overturned the the reluctance of the British to accept the fact that homosexuality happens. And
it happens in the Houses of Parliament. I mean, look at them.
Look, like, how many gay soldiers were out in the army fighting, taking control of India and all the rest around the world, and in the navies and everything.
Even on one of Cook's voyages, when he went down to the Antarctic, he found that plenty of his fellow
officers were having fun with one another.
People were being flogged.
No.
Oh, golly gosh, there we go. Change the date is something that I think is gathering momentum here in Australia.
Well, that's I've been on about that for as long as I can remember. I've been saying the date's wrong.
And that's longer than I can remember.
Yeah, but I think the emphasis is changing. Oh, okay, it's to eliminate 26th of January.
Hashtag change the date.
Then work up a case afterwards for where it will be celebrated.
Well, I think you've got to find a date first before you can ask. You can argue change the date, don't you?
Well,
really, that would be. But there was one on the radio this morning at about 5 o'clock. I can remember he was talking about change. That he said it should be May the 8th because then you can say mate.
But yeah, we shouldn't be celebrating on a day. We shouldn't acknowledge a day where Indigenous people lost their lives. I'm sure that happened from day one.
Well, there's plenty of those because they're making a list of all the massacres that happened with between the whites and the blacks.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of them, though, the 300 or something, rather, around Australia. Massacres and things.
Here come the Potbellies. They're saying hello. Here on Joy. Hello.
Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
You're with Phil, Chris and Gordon. Been there, done that on Joy 94.9. Thanks for being with us. Oh, thank you, yes, to Mark, who I was speaking to on the phone during the week, and he says he listens. And Phil, you were mentioning that Gabe, our morning presenter, had some message for us as well.
She jumped into an Uber and the driver was listening to our podcast.
Our podcast?
Yes. Oh, well,
Been there, done that. Yeah.
And if you'd like to send us a little massage, how would they do that, please?
We can be emailed at beenthere@joy.org.au.
Oh, beenthere@joy.org.au.
And if you write to us, we'll mention your name on air and you'll be famous.
Your 5 minutes of fame or whatever it is that it's 15 from, what's name, wasn't it, 15 minutes of fame. I tell you what, who's not having 15 minutes of fame? The transgendered people in the American Army.
In the Defence Forces in the US, they're a little bit worried because the president is actually against them. Because they're on the outer. I don't know what he's frightened of.
I think he's very afraid of them because of the way he's carrying on. But he has
determined that those people who have gender dysphoria and haven't yet transitioned are going to be drummed out of the Defence Forces. Those that are already transitioned, that's okay. Whether that's transitioning legally or transitioning medically.
Yep. There's something like 13,700 transgender people in the Defence Forces of America. And this is going to affect a hell of a lot of people's working lives because there are people in the Army that love being in the Army. There are people that have been there for many, many years. Some have transitioned, I beg your pardon, before they joined, and they are okay. They're not going to be covered by the law unless Mr. Trump decides that he doesn't want them either, and then 937 of those will have to go.
I mean, he really is shooting himself in the foot. Who does he think all those translators, the people who sit in the bunkers listening to or looking at radar, they don't have to be frontline troops to be part of the armed forces, and they can be quite innocently sitting in an office somewhere doing their military job, and they don't have to be interacting with people. But I mean, what is he scared of?
But the thing is that the people that he's going to get rid of are the people that are, as you say, are in the back rooms, the radio operators. There's one person in the article that we read. She's been in the army for many, many years. She's an Arabic translator, so she can listen to everything that's coming over through the airs on the Arab airlines and or airwaves and sort of say exactly what's going on. She could lose her job. She's one of the 937 that are going to be okay, but still could go if Mr. Trump decides that he doesn't want them. But why they don't learn from the Australian Defence Forces, which is another thing, because we accept our transgender community in the Defence Force.
Way back when, early in...
Back in the 90s, I think it was, wasn't it?
Something like that, yeah. Australian Defence Forces actually worked out that there was no real reason why transgendered people shouldn't be in the Defence Forces.
They said about the cost of transitioning and all the rest of it, but the Army found out it cost them $1.4 million for the people that had transgendered so far, which has far outweighed the cost of the work that they did and the percentage of the cost to the defence budget, which was 0.00005 or something or other percent.
But also there was the fear that was a myth that was cronked on the head that transgender troops may hurt morale or unit cohesion. Well, I think the rest of the troops in these platoons or any section of the army have learnt that there is diversity on the battlefield as much as anything.
But trans
people in the forces have support.
Yeah, the from the top down, even the top brass say they're very good.
And well, their fellow troops are now living that as well.
Well, you've got a great example by Catherine McGregor, you know, who transitioned while she was in the army, and she had the full support of her commanding officer when she did, you know, because she was still wearing the uniform just after she had transitioned.
But it's just an assumption based on fear and hate.
Exactly.
May hurt morale. Well, it didn't, period.
No.
End of story.
Discrimination of the worst kind.
That's right, yeah.
But America has fought discrimination for decades, and now we've got a president practicing.
But they still practice discrimination when you talk about African Americans.
Well, that's probably a never ending battle.
That's a never ending battle, that one. Yeah.
But yeah, it's like the country would like us to see it as peace, love and mung beans.
Mm.
But they're at each other's throat. Yeah. They're shooting each other. And they're hating people just because they're different.
Yeah. Mm. Well, one of the things that the Australian Defence Forces proved was that transgender people don't have any mental illnesses.
No, because they've become happy by transitioning. They have brought their bodies to what their brains was telling them they should be.
Yeah.
You know, so why wouldn't you be happy?
Precisely.
You'd be happy and comfortable in who you are.
That's right.
Because you've finally become who you are.
And good on them.
And where's the problem in that?
No problem at all.
And the other myth was that it's a social engineering experiment with special privileges.
Oh.
Special privileges?
That's total BS, I would think.
Yeah.
What, so treating people equally is a special privilege?
Yeah.
That argument breaks down in the middle of that sentence.
Doesn't it? Yes.
Well, In 2016, five of the Australian Defence Chiefs wrote in a letter to one of the newspapers, diversity is not about identity politics, it's about improving the quality of the workplace, and it's the antidote to groupthink and group hate and discrimination. And it's gaining a wider range of perspectives to make better decisions, and in the military context, enhancing our capability, that often intangible concept that is manifest in the conduct of military operation.
Hmm.
Yay.
Because we've had transgendered people serving in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in the Navy, on the ships that have been out there over in the Middle East and everywhere. So, you know, whole world hasn't changed, has it? It's like chicken licking. The sky hasn't fallen.
But the four myths supporting discrimination have been disproven years ago. And Trump's out there saying, well, he's not even acknowledging why he's doing it.
Yeah, but then, of course, you've just got to remember who Trump is.
Is he just chasing votes in the Bible Belt? Because they're living back in 1956 quite comfortably.
That's exactly what he's looking at, yes. He's come a cropper with the closing down the government, so now he's getting onto something else that he is famous for being.
Well, yeah, that was one of his original manifesto.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think he's going to be crueling his own pitch, as they say.
Well,
but
hopefully.
He promised that Mexico would pay for that fence for the wall.
Well, sadly, there is over a century of US hegemony into Central America.
That's right.
That can't be undone quickly and easily. The cartels, the drug cartels and things that are all the down in the central states of America have been supported by the US. They have got so many people drifting up over the border already that they've got 100 years of illegals to worry about, not just January 2019.
But he's on about all the drugs and everything that's coming through. There's more drugs coming into America on aeroplanes and across the Canadian border than there is coming through Mexico, you know.
He's going to have to move the wall and include California
right
in the banned list.
Yeah.
Because we've got places like Los Angeles, which
full of Mexicans
and missions, but historically the name is Mexican.
Mexican, that's right.
San Francisco, San Jose.
Yeah,
the Mexicans have been there longer than any of us.
Yeah, yeah. Mr. Trump is crawling up a wall without any ladders or parachutes.
I hope he doesn't hurt himself.
Some people could even say that he's on cloud nine.
Oh,
Cuckoo
God.
Land.
Cuckoo Land. Yeah.
Here's Jamiroquai. They're going to talk about it as well.
Oh, aren't they good?
You're on Joy.
You put me up, then you put me down. Just one thing seems to make you care. Who's gonna drive and take you home? Only a fool could walk away from me this time. I look out to heaven, every star I see is mine. Only a fool could walk away from me this time. I'm walking on air and every cloud is cloud nine.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9.
Oh, with Chris, Gordon and Phil.
And why is that girl yelling at us?
Just so excited.
Oh, was she? Okay. I don't know girls that well.
You'll get girl germs.
I know, and I stay away.
Fellows, I've just opened up the anniversaries book, and we've got a few names in there who are having occasions right about this time of the calendar. I think the first one that we should mention is 26th of January. Oh.
Again?
1958 this time, however.
It wasn't 1788.
Ellen DeGeneres, US actor, and a favourite of yours from the TV.
She's a very funny lady and very generous and a brilliant advocate for our community.
When you say generous, do you mean she's generous with the sponsors' funds?
Oh, it's not her money.
Yeah, that's
But that's not the point. She can give away a car and not feel a thing.
That's right. Yeah, that's what I'm getting at.
But it's a very good show she's got running now, and she's thinking of retiring, which would be a real shame, because she has unified huge parts of her country, and she's seen around the world. But if somebody does something good, they become a guest. You don't have to be famous, and she'll reward them. They could walk out with $20,000, $50,000, you know, just for saving a stranger. And actually, there's a thing I heard on the radio this morning. I wouldn't be surprised to see this person on the Ellen Show. He was driving around in the Washington area and somebody had broken down or were changing their tyre. So this guy is an amputee, ex-military, in shorts and short sleeves, gets out and offers this person a hand. And that person was the General Colin Powell. Colin Powell. And he said, "Yeah, thank you for your help." And they did the tie together and they caught up later on. And Colin Powell was saying, you know, that's just, he's just one of the families.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just, you know, the family being the military.
Military, yes.
And, you know, you stop and help each other. It doesn't matter what rank you are.
No. I've only been able to catch Ellen DeGeneres once, and I did notice that she was giving away lots of stuff and to people that were absolutely stunned that they were even mentioned to be giving the money away to, you know.
Yeah, well, the people are generally selfless in themselves. Mm. There's this one, let's say, after middle-age African-American woman who's just her nature, she's doing things for other people. And Ellen, she's been on 4 or 5 times, and the gifts keep escalating. They've gone from like a monetary gift, which she gave away anyway, the recipient. They gave her a car. And then in a cross-promotion thing with one of the do-it-yourself shows on cable, they actually built her a house.
Well, good.
And she's saying, no, I don't deserve it. She's trying to deny all these things.
But she's very good.
And does she play on her gayness?
Very much.
Okay, so she's educating the middle classes of the US.
Yeah, she married Portia as soon as they could.
Oh, I was going to come to that. Yeah.
The, Proposition 8, which we heard so much about here, which was to reverse the gay marriage laws. She fought tooth
on
and
TV.
Nail. Yeah. Mm. Her audience is straight. They're the Bible Belt, and they're looking and love this lesbian woman.
When she came out on her own show,
she was dumped.
She was dumped.
Her show was dumped.
The show was just cut like they did with Roseanne because she was said something about Trump, you know. And but she was dumped from that. But then when the opportunity came to run a daytime show like she's got now, what would have been the thoughts of the American people then if she's been dumped from one show because she's gay and she's coming back to this?
Yeah, well, see, America has grown up a little bit.
Have they?
I said a little bit. But in the time since she was thrown out, which a lot of people thought was very unfair.
Oh, yes, that's right.
She had a massive amount of support to come back. And she's in the top 5 money earners in show business at the moment. And it's just a really good thing. She's got a segment at the moment where they'll show either a news clip or a newspaper article about something that straight people have done that's either silly or wrong or whatever. And the title of the segment is, "Oh, straight people." And she makes the audience repeat it.
Yeah.
You were mentioning about her wife.
Oh, I thought it was her car, Porsche.
No. Yes.
Yes. Can you go out the back and paint the Porsche brown? The car. I meant the porch.
You're talking about the Geelong girl.
Yeah, what was her name?
Oh,
Jane. Porsche de Rossi.
Well, that's her name now.
That's her film name. Yes, she's got a very ordinary sort of name from down in Geelong way. Yeah.
So she's married to Ellen DeGeneres, and she's having a birthday on the 31st of January.
Mm.
She was born in 1973.
Oh, we keep giving out these dates where we shouldn't really be mentioning a woman's age. I don't know a lot about Portia's acting career, but I will give her and Ellen props for teaching Americans, A, that Australia exists, B, where it is, and that we're not really that much different, and we do say a few funny things.
Yeah, So someone who's well known for saying a few funny things, a lot of ums and ahs in between them as well, having a birthday 29th of January, born in 1946, Ian Molly Meldrum.
Yes, again, sir, you shouldn't tell a lady's age.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, Molly, yes. Molly's hanging on there, isn't he? He's done very well since he had that dreadful accident when he fell off the ladder.
It actually stopped him umming and ahhing to a very large degree.
Yes.
It was quite noticeable in TV interviews.
That's a worry, isn't it?
Well, it
knocks you back into whack.
Knocking your Stetson off your head. Is that what's under there?
Oh, there's nothing there.
But Molly's been a great advocate for the gay community as well.
Another great advocate and an activist for the gay community and the HIV community is Greg Louganis, the US Olympic swimmer, who is HIV positive, but of course on meds these days.
He wasn't a swimmer, he was a diver, Chris.
Diver, I'm sorry.
Yes, but there's a difference.
Swim, you'd end up at the bottom of the pool if you couldn't swim.
Well, he only ought to swim 2 strokes and he's out of the pool.
29th of January, 1960.
What a beautiful diver that man was. I saw that, I can remember seeing that accident on the screen when he hit his head as he did a backward.
Oh, you can virtually feel it, can't you?
Yeah, and he hit his head as he went off the 10-metre board. And clunk, and he came up, and they thought, oh, my God, they thought he'd killed himself. And
he came to split his head open. Well, yeah, of course, he'd feared that as well,
yeah,
because he knew that he was positive.
HIV positive, yes, and he didn't let anybody else touch him. He wouldn't let anybody come near him. He just said, leave me alone, and he raced into the thing and fixed himself up, yeah,
yeah,
and then came back and won the gold medal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably can't remember.
It wouldn't have mattered to it because they train so hard that they can do those things without even thinking of, you know, just I'm going to do this dive, and they do it. You know, it's the same as all sports people. They train so hard that it's automatic.
They saw poor Rafa on the weekend with his tennis.
Mm. Yeah, well, he was in a bit of pain, I think, in his legs.
But Greg Louganis hasn't given up. He is still an active and a real prominent person in the gay community and the HIV community. He's not retired.
I've read his biography, and he's had a bugger of a life, I can tell you.
Yeah.
An awful life.
I saw the movie. Saved a lot of reading.
Someone else who's having a birthday round about this time, a friend of Beyonce's, I believe. Anyway, it's Justin Timberlake, 31st of January, 1981. He's going to sing about My Love.
Love radio? Joy is now on iHeartRadio. Turn us on anywhere.
You're with Chris, Phil and Gordon. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9.
I thought we were with Gordon, Chris and Phil.
Oh,
Phil, Gordon and Chris.
I don't know them.
Don't you?
No.
Okay.
We'll look them up on Facebook.
Okay.
That's a good place to look. You won't find me on Facebook.
Aren't you on Facebook?
No.
But you've got a good face for Facebook.
No, he's got a good face for radio.
That's what I'm
saying. As do I.
I'm meaning that as well.
I'm not on Facebook.
I am.
Really? I like friends that I can see and touch.
I'm on Facebook but have nothing on it.
I can remember about 7 or 8 years ago when Facebook started, and some young girl said that she had now discovered this family of 100 or so friends, her Facebook friends. She said, I must give them a little bit of a party. And she hired the hall, got the food, got the music, and then waited at the open doors for all these Facebook friends to come and visit.
And they didn't.
They didn't.
Well, that would mean getting away from your phone or your computer.
Well, exactly. Her friends weren't, in fact, her friends.
No, they're just...
And the way Facebook is being used these days as an implement of cruelty and derision.
Cyberbullying.
Well, that's where the community people, the Australian Community People of the Year, the mother and father from Darwin, whose daughter committed suicide because she was getting bullied at school on Facebook. I chose them as the winners because of what they'd done. Facebook is...
It's a good concept, but it's been taken too far and too much importance given to it.
I get people that want to be my friends, and you can tell that they're people from Russia and all these places. We want to be friends with you, and they get deleted straight away.
Of course.
Yes. And why would I want to be friends?
Modern technology can be very, very interesting and useful. I missed out on the PlayStation era. Did you come across that?
I've had no interest in any kind of computer games.
I was too old anyhow.
My
boredom threshold is fairly low. And clicking a button is not gaming or exercise. So.
Well, it is for your thumbs. But then
yeah, and you're going to end up 70 and unable to use your hand.
I read somewhere where the way people use their thumbs to do all these things.
The texting.
They're texting and everything. Yeah. They're going to grow... In generations to come, the thumb is going to be about 3 times longer than your ordinary fingers.
Oh.
And we'll have a pen inserted in it.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
This is all this technology.
But Facebook have gotten in trouble for selling people's data or their metadata. And that's basically stuff that you don't want to share with the world. And they're making money out of it.
They are.
Something that's costing them nothing, they're actually...
Making
money with.
Yeah.
Well, they make
how does Mr. Zuckerberg become a millionaire?
From the advertising that he sells.
Billion with a B.
Oh, billion.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. But you see, I have nothing on Facebook. I don't think since I've been there I've put one photo on, a photo of myself.
Yeah, but surely there's a profile, there's some part of your identity is there.
No. This, but if other people post stuff onto my Facebook, which I read, and say I like or make a comment or wish him a happy birthday, that's me. I've got so much stuff I could probably put on Facebook, but I haven't got the time. Couldn't be bothered.
Now, we shouldn't worry so much about Facebook because you can either just ignore it completely. But when the government starts to put on your health record on computers, you start to worry a bit about that. They're talking about other forms of identification and tracking. China is going even one part further. Oh, the whole community is going to be on their database and they're going to be analysed, and if you don't fit the norm,
you'll disappear.
Exactly. It'll be more than the delete key.
Did you see that there was a whole thing on television I saw about China where they've got so many cameras around that they take photographs of you as you're walking, and that goes into a central computer and all the rest of it, and if you do good things you get points, if you do bad things you get points taken off, and if you get so many points taken off you're not allowed to leave the country or the city or where the suburb where you live in. You can't even go on the trains and this sort of thing. Talk about Big Brother taking over.
Exactly. When you get on those queues to check in at the airport and you've got to snake along and around and back and forwards, people get sent to the back of the snake to start again because there are cameras looking at you in our airports as you walk along each section of that snake as you're coming up to the check-in counter. And they are data harvesting there. They're identifying you.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't
facial recognition.
Exactly.
But what I find somewhat amusing is the people who are complaining about the government getting all your medical information. You've posted everything about your life and when you're going away on holidays and everything on your Facebook page.
No, they haven't.
You haven't, but there's half of the people that would be bitching about the government have done it to the private company for free.
Yeah. That's right, yeah. But you remember the furore that happened when, I think it was Bob Hawke was going to introduce an Australian card. Mm. Everybody was to have an Australian card, and they said, "Oh, that'll be you'll know all about
it's
us,
an
everything."
Identity card,
And now they're just putting it on Facebook anyhow, or to tell or the computer anyhow about themselves.
And they're so addicted to it that they don't know what they've done or how they've exposed themselves.
I use my computer for spreadsheets and writing.
Yeah. There's a museum exhibiting queer history in gaming in Germany. Who would have ever thunk that gamers as a subcommunity were of interest, but even more precisely, gay gamers?
That doesn't surprise me about Germany, Chris, because remember that we've spoken about the man that before the turn of the century in 1900, he had a whole history of gay thing. There was a whole thing that went through. Remember that? Germany have been, in the old days, were well ahead of everybody else in the world about having gay people.
Well, the psychology of the time invented the word homosexual. And that's right.
Yeah, so Germany, it doesn't surprise me that Germany have done that.
As well as playing games, the creation of the games is like writing a book. You've got characters, you've got plot lines, you've got situations, circumstances.
And do you have to make it believable, totally believable, or is it just something that's in your, you can sort
no,
of...
But you've got imagery on the screen, and you've got doorways that people have got to go through, you've got things that happen, explosions that eliminate people. You've got a whole series of stories being created in these games.
And how do they do that?
They create the story in animation, and it's got consequences. Each step has got consequences.
Yeah, that's in some of the high-end games they're doing that. But the only productive use of computers is really through coding, and that hasn't hit gaming yet.
No.
Gaming is a pre-scripted story with some options. But if you go down that same way, if you play the same game the same way, you'll get the same outcomes. But the graphics are becoming incredibly real.
But look at the movies. You just see that.
They're all computer generated.
Computer generated and everything. It's just amazing how they do it. And there's a company in Victoria here that's one of the top ones that was in the paper. Filmmakers are buying their stuff to use. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the odd thing, I find it funny to see gay gamers because a gamer to me, a computer game enthusiast, would be highly aligned with virginity.
Oh, right.
Because they play games or they don't know many humans.
But you talk about coding. I read something in the paper the other day about one of the local schools here are teaching the primary school children to code.
Yeah, that's not as advanced as it seems.
Oh, no, it's teaching them the basics, I think.
Yeah, but they've got a lot of the big companies, and I won't name them, have got software packages to teach gaming or just teach coding, and it's done much as you would have with your comic books. It's like his character wants to do that. This is how you tell it to do it.
Oh, right, so right.
One of the good benefits is that these are gay people with these stories, and they're actually creating a safe place for them to have their world experiences presented on the screen as a game, but also where they can't be bullied. Quite the opposite of Facebook.
Mm. But it's
poor old Facebook. We love you.
Well, it's about time we soft from here.
Okay.
We'll go home and count all Zuckerberg's money.
Oh, yes, sure thing.
None of which we have.
I'll go home and look at my Facebook.
Thank you for being with us, and we hope to have your company next week.
Yes, have a great week. It's coming up to be very hot too, I think, isn't it?
And Pride March next weekend.
Pride March, yes, and it's early. It's 11 o'clock start, so be careful.
We'll see you there.
See you there.
Join and march with joy.
I'm marching with joy this year.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.